Enforcer.
I believe they're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long!
Welcome back to another edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. Well, I guess I shouldn't say welcome back, because I don't think anybody listened last week.
No.
They did. So, no, I'm just kidding. We're working you.
Are you serious?
We're working the dressing room here. That's what we're doing. We're taking people behind the scenes, and we're lying to them. They call working the boys. I feel that's a weird sentence, huh? You working the boys?
I wish we were muted this whole time.
Yeah, speaking of working the boys, his name is the Stallion. My name is the Enforcer. We are the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. I'm going to welcome you back anyway. Welcome back to yet another edition. Before anything, I appreciate everybody that took the time to rate and review and subscribe to us last week on iTunes. It was much appreciated. Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know who you're talking to, I guess would be my first question.
Anyway, we sincerely, Siri
might rate us.
So, we got a couple things to talk about this week. First and foremost, we here at the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast would like to take a minute to give our thoughts and pay our respects to the greatest professional wrestling personality of all time, Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan passed away earlier this week at the age of, I believe it was 73. There were conflicting reports. Some people said 72, some people said 73. You and I have done a couple of five counts on here, and the topics were best manager and best announcer. And I'm pretty sure for both of us, Bobby Heenan was top of both those lists.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he was, if not top.
Yeah, he. For me, growing up watching professional wrestling, Bobby Heenan was the voice. I guess you could say of my generation, my young one, I should say, because later on it became JR and Jerry Lawler, but Bobby Heenan was the first person I really remember listening to. He's the first manager that I remember seeing. My earliest memories, I think the earliest memory I have of Bobby Heenan was when I think it was Rude versus Warrior, and he lost the match, got knocked out by the Ultimate Warrior, and he woke up in the weasel suit. Was that Rude?
I don't remember. If it might have been Rude. I do remember the ending of it, though.
The skit. And Bobby Heenan was like the slapstick comedian of the WWF at that point. There was nobody for my money that has done it better, that even comes close to what Bobby Heenan was able to do. And I think one of a lost art form now is, as a manager or an advocate, whatever you want to call him, is getting over your talent. And I think there was nobody better at that than Bobby Heenan.
He was. I think most wrestlers that worked with him, the heat that they got, and the reaction that they got, I think a lot of it, was in large part due to having Heenan as their manager, right? I mean, I think there was only like one guy that I ever heard of that didn't feel like he needed Heenan as his manager, but
who was that?
I think it was Ravishing Rick Rude, I believe.
Really?
But I think everyone else obviously benefited from him, guys that maybe couldn't talk very well, and obviously he was a really good talker, and from his managing days, I think the Rick Rude IC title win was his first championship that he won as far as anybody in his stable, and then shortly after I believe the Brainbusters won the tag titles, right? And then I think Haku and Andre the Giant eventually had the tag titles leading into WrestleMania 6 or something like that. But I think that was his first. So he kind of got some, he got some good credibility with those guys. And then transitioning into the announcer role over the years, he had a neck injury.
Well, Andre had the title too, right?
Well,
Million Dollar Man gave it to him.
Yeah, I guess if you count that.
No, you're right.
But he had a neck injury that I think led to him no longer being at ringside or being able to get physically involved. I mean, he kind of returned briefly to be with Ric Flair, right, when he came over to the WWF back in the early 90s. So, he was, and him pairing him with Gorilla Monsoon is of course one of the most famous announcing tandems that the WWF ever had. And he worked with other announcers. He was really pretty much good with anybody that he worked with, whether it was Vince or you know, if other guys like Randy Savage or Roddy Piper were in the booth with him, it was always entertaining. And unfortunately for him, you know, after he went to WCW, and then after that ended, he ended up with some health issues in the 2000s. I was fortunate enough to be at the WrestleMania 20 in Madison Square Garden, where the night before he was inducted in the Hall of Fame, so he was actually on the in the arena for WrestleMania 20. I think that was the last time that I saw him at an event.
Is that when he did the gimmick Battle Royal?
No, that was 17.
That was 17.
20, he was just like, he was in the Hall of Fame. He came out and was like honored, and he did some backstage skits with Mean Gene Okerlund.
Right.
I think with Moolah and Mae Young, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back and watch WrestleMania 20. Oh, my
God. I do remember
that. Yeah. That was the last time I ever saw him at a wrestling show, and we met him at some autograph signings years later, but he was his appearance was much, much different because of the throat cancer he suffered from and other health issues that he ran into, which was unfortunate over the years. But he stuck it out and fought through it for a very long time, and unfortunately, passed away earlier this week. They had a nice tribute for him, I thought, on Monday. At least they had a nice, an entertaining video package to kind of highlight.
Yeah, it was consistent, too. They kept, now, so if I say to you, Bobby Heenan, what's the first thing? Like, what's the first either skit, interview, what's the first thing you think of?
Well, I was too young at the time. I wasn't watching live, but when he came out with Andre and challenged Hogan on Piper's Pit, I think it's probably one of his most famous moments. He did, I think, most of the talking in that segment, and led Andre, and that was Andre's kind of turn and leading into the match with Hogan. So that's probably one of the first things that I remember with him. And then the Royal Rumble 92, calling it on commentary with Flair.
Yeah.
Those are probably the two things that would stick out for me as far as, most famous memories for him.
Yeah, I think the call for Rumble 92, was just, from bell to bell, was absolutely hilarious. The "it's not fair" to Flair, and then he turns on Piper. That was great stuff. Also, the stuff he did with Gorilla Monsoon on Primetime Wrestling.
Yes.
I mean, they had the I watched it not too long ago, and they were in like the Old West, and they and Heenan got blown up and stuff like that. I thought it was really cool. And it sucks to lose a guy like Bobby the Brain Heenan. One of the other things I remember about him was the tribute that he forced Nitro to give to Gorilla Monsoon when Gorilla had passed away.
I just heard that the other day, actually. It was on Peter Rosenberg does, he's on ESPN Radio and Michael Kay Show, but he also does some work for WWE. He's a big wrestling fan. And
right.
So he mentioned Heenan passing away, and one of the clips that he played was the tribute that he did for Monsoon on Nitro that one year.
Yeah, there was a big hubbub about it because apparently Nitro didn't want to do it. Or they didn't they didn't put it in, and he went into business for himself and said that. But also, if you go back and you listen to his call, you said WrestleMania 17 was the gimmick Battle Royal.
Yeah.
If you listen to his call when he first sits down, like you could hear who did he call it with Mean Gene?
Yeah,
he called it with Mean Gene, and he said he looked over to Mean Gene and he's like, how great is this? And you could tell it was just what he loved to do, and for him going from a manager to a commentator. It's different because when you're a manager, you're kind of out there doing it yourself. For a commentator, he was very quick-witted. So the back and forth that he had with McMahon and Gorilla Monsoon was, stuff that you don't see today. And if I feel like people are just trying too hard. And for Bobby Heenan, it just came naturally.
So. Yeah, he's a naturally entertaining guy, I think. And, I didn't see him wrestle much. I know he was a wrestler before he was a manager, and he did a couple of shots, I think, in WWF at the time, which random matches. I think he was in I'm going to forget the WrestleMania, so I don't want to bring it up, but there was a six-man tag. He was with the Islanders against the Bulldogs and Coco Beware. Might be WrestleMania 4. I'd have to go back and look that up. But, he had that whole thing. I think he wore, the suit to protect himself from the dog.
He did, because Matilda.
Yeah, Matilda.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's things like that. But so I never really got to see him as a wrestler in the ring, but everything else he did was always very very entertaining and very great. Certainly in his WWF days, and Nitro probably didn't get really WCW didn't really use him as much as they or as well as they could have. Maybe he didn't want to do anything beyond just announcing at that point. I'm not sure, but it's unfortunate that it's a voice from your childhood and that stuff that you listen to and you watched when you were a kid, and now he's no longer with us. But a great wrestling personality in the history of the business.
Yeah, and like you said, the WWE did a good job, going over his career. So he's definitely, you know, I guess out of everything I could say, I'm glad he was around to see himself get inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's cool. So sorry to bring everybody down, you know. I wasn't really bringing people down. I was just, you know, talking about Bobbo, my Bobby Heenan. So from there, I mean, we got a couple things to talk about this week. I feel like we have we could tease it a little later. We have another episode of the Five Count. Installment? Not an episode, right? Installment.
Sure. Sit with, I don't know what segment that's going to be in on the show. I'm not sure how many segments we have.
Segment 4F. Yeah. 4F or Four Figures Deep, or the alternate name of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, or the In the Red Podcast.
Yeah, there's a lot of names floating around right now.
There sure are. We're going to remind you before we go any further. You can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, at All Night Long WP, Facebook.com/AllNightLong. Actually, Facebook.com/ANLWP, I lied. Not even sure that's really it. Find us on Facebook. And aside from that, you can find us on Damage 365 Radio Network.
Everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and you are listening to Damage 365 Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
You know, it'd be cool if we had commercials so I could take a piss break. I'm just thinking about that.
I mean, I could just keep playing those drops over and over again if you want until you come back.
Then it'll be like an episode of SmackDown. Am I right? So, I guess, speaking of Raw and SmackDown, we have a big pay-per-view coming up this Sunday. Well, an event pay-per-view. It's the No Mercy pay-per-view, a Raw exclusive. And we don't want to go too deep into... actually, we're going to go four figures deep into Raw and SmackDown. No, we're not. But a couple things about Raw that I wanted to ask you about while we're on the air here. Freeballing, as they say.
Mm.
Still not, like I said.
Nope.
No John Cena. No Brock Lesnar.
No Juan Cena, that's true.
Yeah, no Cena, no Lesnar. Do you think that's a big deal going into a pay-per-view?
I don't know, like the Lesnar thing is I don't know what their thought process is on stuff like that, if they, or why they wouldn't schedule him to be there on the show before a pay-per-view that he's wrestling at. So I don't know, I can explain that from the company's perspective, like why you wouldn't just have him appear at a Raw there. Is it a big deal? Probably not, because they've done a ton of these things before where he's not always there every week, and they build up the shows with, they did that pre-taped back, you know, interview with them backstage.
Yeah, but that was a good segment too.
So it ended up being probably fine. The Cena thing, I mean, he was in Japan working for them. So that was just a scheduling thing. Again, I don't know why you would do that on a week before he has a big pay-per-view match. I thought Reigns did fine. I liked his promo this week. It might have been a little better for him or easier for him without having to go
Cena, right?
Back and forth.
Yeah.
But I thought he did well with it. I was entertained by it. I actually got a kick out of it. So good on Roman for that. So, I mean, yeah, it stinks. I don't know what their rating was this week. I didn't see. But, you know, you're going up against a Monday night game again. Cena not there. Lesnar not there. Main event was a five-way match, right? Six-pack challenge for their Intercontinental title shot that featured Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel and Jason Jordan in the main event. So, you know.
I mean, not for nothing. If that's me and I'm Johnny Q viewer.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Especially with the lack of a response that Jason Jordan is still getting. I mean, it's rough. But I mean, kudos to Jason Jordan. 2 weeks in a row, he had pretty decent, 3 years in a row now, but he had pretty decent matches against Cena and against Roman Reigns. And, you know, for him to get this win, but people just aren't invested and people don't really care. I expect him to beat... The Miz for the IC title probably on Sunday, but there's a lot of stale segments. Another segment that feels stale and dumb to me is Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor. So the build up, follow me here. Do you have your pen and paper?
Yeah, it's over there.
Okay, write it down. Write this down. So Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor in a feud.
I'm not writing it down. Go ahead.
You're ruining my segment.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You're ruining our segment. Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor in a feud. And Bray Wyatt does such douchey stuff to Finn Balor. He unleashes... Finn Balor has no choice but to unleash the demon, his alternate ego, right? Finn Balor's demon defeats Bray Wyatt. And now Finn Balor's so damn mad at Bray Wyatt, he's getting rid of the demon. What is that shit, huh? Who thinks that's a good idea? This has Road Dogg all over it. Sucks. Sorry.
I'm just going to blame Road Dogg. It's not even his show.
I feel like he had a part.
Poor Road Dogg.
Who's writing this one? Kai and Tai? Come on. I don't know. There's a lot of opportunity with these two guys, and they are just literally I'm actually watching them drop the ball. I don't know. I can't be the only one that feels this way.
Yeah, well, I'm not watching them because anytime that Bray Wyatt comes on my screen, I turn it off. So
doesn't that suck? Because I feel like he's got such potential to be such a great, interesting character, and the way that he has been booked, every single feud has been the same. He cuts the same promo. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong; his inflection in the promo is fantastic. I think his inflection is great. His delivery is good. The eye contact he makes to the camera is good. How he delivers it is great. But Happy Gilmore is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yep.
Every single time I see Happy Gilmore on, I watch it. You know why? Because I see it maybe once every 6 months. Yeah. If I had to watch Happy Gilmore every single Monday, I would stop watching it. And that's what they've done to Bray Wyatt. I think just take out Finn Balor's name and put Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, John Cena, even Undertaker. It's all been the same thing. His opponents have the only thing that changes is his opponent.
Yeah, it's boring. It's the same old stuff. I don't know who to blame that all on. If it's them for not being more creative with his storylines and angles, or if it's him because he just kind of says the same thing over and over again, and there's not a lot of diversity in his promo and what he's doing. I mean,
is it because he's white?
I don't think that's exactly it, but okay. I don't know. We have to ask Jinder Mahal about that.
Jinder Mahal should come out next week wearing a MAGA hat. I feel like that would go for real well.
Umaga?
No, MAGA. Make America Great Again.
Oh, MAGA.
Yeah. Donald Trump hat.
Umaga.
Umanga. Where are we?
Bray Wyatt.
There we go. Right back to square one.
Yeah, so it's just he hasn't done anything really. I mean, when he first started, there was a lot of, I think, hype around him, and the gimmick was interesting. It was cool. They gave him a little bit of a winning streak early, and then he didn't really go anywhere. And
he's lost every match for 4 years now, for God's sake. Every single match.
And I think when he had the feud with Orton on SmackDown at the end of, I guess, the beginning of this year, that whole angle, I think a lot of people were into, right, with Orton joining the Wyatts after not being able to beat Bray, and then he eventually turned on him, and then they fought for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. But Bray had only had the title for like a month or 6 weeks, and then he lost it in the first, in the first defense, not the first defense, but the first pay-per-view defense, clean to one RKO, and the match was kind of dead. It held those like images of the maggots on the ring and on the mat.
He lost the one RKO. Meanwhile, it takes a super RKO to beat Aiden English. Just saying.
So that, I think that kind of, for me, it was an angle that could have helped revive him, and it was kind of starting to, and then it just fell way off the rails, and he's been gone right back to, like you said, the way that he's been, with every feud is the same, and the outcome is the same, and he had the Wyatt family, then he didn't have the Wyatt family, then he had the Wyatt family again.
Then he had Harper.
Then Harper kind of turned on him, right? Like, it was just, and now Harper's not even on TV anymore.
That was actually, you bring up a really good point, I totally forgot about when Harper turned on him, and like, when Randy infiltrated the Wyatt family and they had caused dissension between Harper and Randy, that was a great, that was a really compelling storyline.
There was a point, right, during that, I don't know, like around like February or March, where like there was a legitimate possibility that Luke Harper was going to challenge for the WWE title at WrestleMania. Remember that? Like, he was fighting, him and Styles tied in that battle royal. They both got eliminated at the same time.
Oh my God.
They fought, and like if he had won, he would have been the number one contender because Orton had said he didn't want to fight Bray.
Right, he dropped the belt to him.
And then Styles ended up beating Harper in that match. But he was like a legit candidate for it because I think at the time most people knew that Styles was going to be fighting Shane. Like, that was the rumor. And they didn't. So like, there was a thought going into that one-on-one match where like Luke Harper might win this, get a title shot, or at least fight Randy Orton, or make it a three-way. Like, he might be in the WWE title match. And now, like 6 months later, he hasn't been on TV in months.
Literally not even in the organization anymore, it seems.
So,
but the thing that bothers me about that whole thing was Luke Harper was more than holding his own. people were getting behind him. The guy doesn't really talk a lot, but the crowds are reacting to him. He's got cool music. And here we are. No Luke Harper. No Eric Rowan. Braun Strowman's doing fine, though.
He is.
That's really all I want to talk about on Raw. Is there anything else that stuck out to you?
No. No. I didn't really remember.
Speaking of sticking out, we should go to the other. No, it's not a dick joke.
Oh, okay.
It was not a dick joke. Jinder Mahal and his anti-Asian promo. This is like some early World War II propaganda. I believe he, what did he say? That Nakamura looks like somebody, and he makes fun of the accent, right?
He does. There was a Mr. Miyagi joke in there, I think, at some point as well.
You think Nakamura really is going to come back with Harold and Jinder go to White Castle? Are we going to see that?
Like, I don't know, man. That's, you know.
But let me ask you something. Like, if that was anybody but Jinder making those jokes, where do you think we would be standing today? Like, how do you think that would have went over?
I don't think it went over well as it was, so yeah. I can only imagine if it would be
like
worse.
If that was Kevin Owens, you know? Yeah. Brutal. That would be terrible. But the good news is people actually seem to care less about Jinder now that he's the champion and making all these things. I think even the crowd was chanting, "That's too far."
Yes.
Man.
The 500 people in the crowd or whatever it was.
There was 975. Okay.
Okay.
Sold out house. The first four rows were packed.
Oh, that's good.
Aside, yeah, those. That's, I mean, the thing is, you think it's a Tuesday, middle of the week, and then you have that and 205 Live afterwards? That's a, you know, it's a long net, especially for what they're charging. I would have loved to go to NXT over the summer, but front row tickets were $495. Kiss my ass, Vince, Trips, whoever else is listening. $495 to sit front row at NXT. Pisses me off. Still bitter about that. Also, we could have watched Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish and Adam Cole debut together.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
That's okay. I'll just
it is okay.
Freeze my mortgage just to go to a WWE event. What else? They're making an official for Kevin Owens and Shane. Are you excited?
No. But I don't really have a lot of emotions anymore.
Yeah, you seem like you're a little bit emotionless. Is that okay?
Yeah, this is what I am now, so...
You okay.
So I mean, I hope you accept me
for
who I am. It's important
for
the future of this show.
For this show. Well, this is... well, people don't know. We're going to veer off track on SmackDown here.
I think we're done anyway.
What? I'm totally done with SmackDown. Okay. Speaking of the future of the show, we're realistic guys. We're realists. You know, if something's broke, we're going to fix it. And what we are doing... Not only on the show, but in life in general, we are now going to be known as the Reclamation. Because we are reclaiming our glory days. The Stallion, the Enforcer, we're turning back the clock. We're fighting tooth and nail back the hands of time. And we're going to reclaim our spot roughly late 2005. That's probably when we're at our highest. So gonna be some changes going forward in the show, in real life, in personal life. You know, we're making some changes for the better, I hope.
Like Fatu.
Holy shit, I forgot about early 96 making changes,
making a difference.
He looks like an extra from Mighty Ducks 2 when they played the urban hockey game. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
and he was wearing the same stripe. That's what we should do. We should stop working and just watch Beavis and Butthead.
I'm gonna recycle more. I think that's one of the things I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna recycle less. I'm actually gonna buy things that aren't recyclable.
That'll balance things out pretty well.
It's, we're just walking around in one vicious cycle. So, speaking of vicious cycles, did you happen to catch NXT this week?
No.
Next.
You want to do these? Oh, okay, keep going.
Well, I think it's time for I would say our favorite.
Which favorite? There's a lot of favorite segments that we've invented over the years. Is this the one where we do a list of our five, or is this where we make picks for the National Football League?
You know the answer. So, as we were talking about last week, Ring of Honor is spiraling downward. Are you looking at my top five?
No.
Picks?
I can't even see that far anymore, dude.
Anyway.
I need a monocle.
I will get you one, Mr. Peanut.
Thank you.
Ring of Honor is spiraling downward quickly, and because they have nobody left. I had texted you and BK last night, and I was watching an episode of Ring of Honor TV that I have on my DVR from November of 2015. There were three matches on the card. The first match was Cedric Alexander versus ACH. The second match was Donovan Dijak. What did I say?
Moose, I think.
Yeah, Donovan Dijak versus Moose. And the main event was Red Dragon and Michael Elgin versus the Kingdom of Michael Bennett, Adam Cole, and Matt Taven. Out of those three matches, including managers, there's one person left in Ring of Honor, and that's Matt Taven. That's it. So what we're going to do right now, don't be mad. We're here to help. We're here to help Ring of Honor. I'm also going to blatantly steal from Outlaw Inc. and sound like Eddie Kingston for the rest of my life.
That's fine.
So what we have come up with this week, in this week's edition of the Five Count, are the top five wrestlers, tag teams, or acts that Ring of Honor needs to bring in to freshen some things up. They could be people that have already been there and gone, but they cannot be under the WWE umbrella because realistically, they can't come to Ring of Honor right now. So, oh, and New Japan too. So this is outside of New Japan, outside of WWE, the five most important talents to Ring of Honor. You want to go first or want me to go first?
Doesn't matter to me. I can't decide anything. I'll go first.
Okay.
Jeff Cobb. I have Jeff Cobb on my list.
Interesting. Okay.
Interesting. I like it when you say interesting because you probably don't really think you actually think it's interesting.
No, Jeff, I'm going to tell you what. He's not on my list, but you know who's number five on my list? Keith Lee.
Keith Lee, yeah.
The Limitless Man himself. Him and Jeff Cobb have great matches in PWG. They're both big hoss guys that are super duper athletic and really interesting, you know, and fun to watch. So my number five is Keith Lee. I'll go number four.
Sure.
Number four, Keith Lee, actually friend of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. Let's not go back and listen to the episode. It was a great episode. We appreciate you, Keith Lee. Number four, I'm going to go with Ricochet. Ricochet is somebody that's been having fantastic matches outside of... actually, he's in New Japan, but he's never been in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I considered him more of like a Lucha Underground guy when I was thinking of this list. So,
Ricochet is somebody that could definitely spice up Ring of Honor and add some more talent to a very depleted roster. Who do you got?
For number four, I put Trevor Lee. I don't think he's really done much in Ring of Honor.
Trevor Lee sucks.
You know what? You suck.
Trevor Lee doesn't suck. I just mad. We had a little thing.
Like, did you have an issue with Trevor Lee?
Yeah, I do have an issue.
I told you, we talked about that. It was not his fault. He's not to blame on that one.
He is to blame. What? So Carrie shouldn't sit front row?
You know what? Let's not go down this path.
Let's not go down to Carolina caveman. Kiss my Carolina ass. Yeah. Continue. So, as you were saying about Trevor Lee.
Trevor Lee's a good wrestler, I think, and he has been underutilized probably in Impact for a while. I think he's getting a little bit more time on television now, but he's had a lot of good matches. We saw him wrestle in Evolve a bunch. We've seen him wrestle on PWG a bunch of times. So he's a talented wrestler. They really can wrestle a lot of different styles. I don't want to say he's never wrestled the Ring of Honor because these guys may have had like a one shot and I just don't remember it or know about it.
I know Andrew Everett wrestled there. I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know if Lee has or not, but he hasn't really had a significant run there. So I felt like he would be somebody that would be worth signing for them and they could do some good things with him.
Agreed. Okay.
And number three now is for me, right? So I had LAX on my list.
That's so good. It should have been mine. Tremendous.
I was trying to think of tag teams because Ring of Honor could use...
Ring of Honor!
some extra, yeah. some extra tag teams to help out their division. I don't really know how many teams that they have at this moment. This seems like it's a little stale. And LAX is a really good act for Impact. I think it's probably one of, if not the best act they have going on their show since they, tried to rebrand and now it's not working out. But
they're trying to rebrand.
Yeah. But yeah, LAX is great. They're great in the ring. It's a good act. People, I think, respond to it. So I think that would definitely be a positive for Ring of Honor if they could get them on their roster.
Tremendous. I'm in the same vein. And another tag team, Monster Mafia. They had a cup of coffee in Ring of Honor a couple of years ago. Josh Alexander retired from professional wrestling because I believe it was a neck or a lower back injury, and he came back. He's now back wrestling again. He's wrestled Ego a couple times, Ethan Page. Those guys are really good apart, and they are really, really good together. They make a great tag team. They had a really good match with Red Dragon a couple of years ago. And what is that?
I don't know. There's a bug crawling on my wall.
Take this over. I got this.
No, it's all right.
You sure?
Yeah, because then I'm gonna get a stain on the wall if I smash it.
You want me to eat it?
No, don't eat it. We'll just let him walk his course.
What kind of bug is it?
I don't know. I can't really tell if it's like a. It's not big enough to be an earwick.
No, it's definitely not a cockroach.
No.
It's a...
This is the worst segment in the history of our show.
You think it's a marsupial?
No.
No, okay. All right, anyway, who did I say?
Monster Mafia.
Monster Mafia. Number two, American Wolves.
It was my turn, but that's okay.
No.
Isn't it?
You went two, now I go two, then you go 1-1.
I didn't go two.
You did.
I only went three.
Right, you went two in a row, though.
Yeah. I went... All right, well, you can keep going.
I'll show you how the draft works after this.
Oh, thanks.
number two for me, the American Wolves. Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, they're a tag team where you could use both of those guys solo or, you know, together. They're one of the, I would say, the best tag teams in the last 15 years. They both bring a championship pedigree. I'm not just saying that. And they are fun to watch. I've had battles with the Young Bucks, Red Dragon, the Briscoe brothers. I'd love to see the American Wolves come back.
So I had Matt Sydal, number two. I know he was there, but they didn't do as much with him as I would have liked to see them do. And I think he's a really talented guy in the ring and puts on really good matches anywhere he goes. And I thought Impact actually has done a better job with him than Ring of Honor did, because they featured him right away. Like, he won a bunch of matches. They put him in some X Division matches that were all entertaining. And now they actually pushed him into a slot where he's wrestling main event level guys like Bobby Lashley. And all his matches that I've seen there have been good. The ones I've seen him in PWG have been really good. The stuff he did in Ring of Honor was good as well, but I think they could have done a lot more with him, and they could benefit from a guy like him in, like, you know, maybe the TV title division or something like that. So I think that would be
veteran presence too. He's been, you know, he's been all around the world. He knows what he's doing. He could help train.
Yeah. So he's been there. You know, he's been around a long time. So I think he would definitely help them out. And then number one I had was Ricochet on my list, because he really, I think, is at a point where he should be getting more of a prominent national spotlight, at least in the United States. He's done some stuff with Lucha Underground. He's done some things in Japan, but I think it's, you know, it'd be good for one of the major promotions in the U.S. And I guess that would either be Ring of Honor, Impact, or WWE would sign him and, you know, do some things with him and feature him, whether, you know, whatever division you want to put him in. But he's a guy that's really, really fun to watch. So I think that would be something that, you know, if I Ring of Honor TV shows, like we've talked about recently, they don't really have a lot on them that makes you want to sit and watch the shows. But if you know, if he was on wrestling a match, I'd probably want to see. Yeah, see it. So,
yeah, he's you know, it's interesting. There were two groups that I was deciding between, but I'm gonna go number one. I'm gonna say OVE, Ohio versus Everybody, or OI4K. Ohio is for killers. Of Jake and Dave Crist, Sammy Callahan, and Havoc. I say that because they're. Each of them have, they're kind of like Sanity at the end of the day. That's kind of maybe where Sanity kind of got a lot of their mannerisms from. But also, they are great characters, and I feel like Ring of Honor right now is missing the character depth. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, they're missing a lot of storyline depth, I think. And maybe that kind of comes from not having a lot of great characters and gimmicks that they can work with.
Right. Did you have anybody close, like just outside?
No, yeah, I was trying to think of different guys. I mean, I was trying to think of all the guys on the independent scene, right? Like, I thought of maybe like Zack Sabre Jr., but I'm not like a huge fan of his style. And
he's been working faster in New Japan. I think you might like his style a little more now, but I hear you.
But, you know, yeah, so guys like that. I mean, you know, Michael Elgin has been there. You know, I consider somebody like him.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
You know, but I mean, he's a New Japan guy.
He didn't really connect with the crowd either when he was here.
Yeah, I think once he lost the title and then turned heel right after that, I think that kind of was that was it for him. Yeah. So I think those, I mean, I'm sure there's others I thought of, but I can't really remember them right now.
I was close to Catch Point. I really like Catch Point. Tracy Williams, Jocka, Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickinson. I like those guys. We're actually going to see them in a couple weeks when we go to the Evolve show, which Davey Richards just pulled out of. I don't know if you saw that.
He's out of that show?
He's out of the
show. Oh, okay. Is the replacement that they named, is he going to be at that show?
No. They didn't announce a replacement for the show that weekend, but did you see the replacement this weekend?
Well, I saw Cedric Alexander is replacing him.
Yeah, right. That's this weekend. I don't know about the New York shows, though.
He's sick or something, right? Or he has surgery, right?
Wasn't I think he said something about his leg.
Yeah. So there's some issue.
Some people are burying him online. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
A lot of people just, you know, I mean, the guy's a full-time paramedic. It's kind of weird.
Can't heal himself, I guess.
What?
Can't heal himself.
Oh, come on.
We can't.
A little too, you know, it's too like soon.
You can dentist, we can do clean your own teeth, fill your own cavities.
I mean, come on. Probably.
I don't know.
Tattoo artists can tattoo themselves. That's 6 to 1, half dozen to another, right?
Yeah, same thing.
Other interesting news this week. we were talking a little about the Bray Wyatt segment on Raw. He wrestled, of course, Goldust, who cut a promo. I like that seamless transition, huh? It was smooth. It was almost like it was supposed to be there. Dun, dun, dun. Goldust, I'm going somewhere with this. Goldust took off his, Bray Wyatt rubbed off his face paint, and now Dustin Runnels went to Kurt Angle as Dustin, not as Goldust. And he asked for a match with Bray Wyatt, which is fine. This is on the heels of the announcement that WWE is bringing back Starrcade for the first time since 2000, if they didn't do it in 2001. It was a WCW-only pay-per-view that was created by Dusty Rhodes, Dustin's father. So a couple people took to Twitter. Cody Rhodes took to Twitter, and his wife took to Twitter, kind of, in not so many words, but bashing the WWE for using Cody's father's idea, but only once he passed away. What do you think about this whole situation?
I mean, I don't see. I mean, it's a waste to use the name on a house show. And I mean, I get what they're trying to do.
Is it going to be on the network, do you think?
I would think that they should put it on the network. I don't know if they will. I mean, it would be nice if they did. I mean, the card has seemed like it has a lot on it. They put a lot out, already.
Is the Rock and Roll Express legit on the card?
They said, I think it was the Rock and Roll Express and Ricky Steamboat are appearing on the card, if I'm not mistaken. And I think they have, there's a cage match on the card, right? Jinder and Nakamura, I believe, in a cage match. And then they've got Charlotte Flair was featured.
Against Natty in a cage.
Yeah.
Two cage matches, yeah.
So I think there's a three-way, right, for the U.S. title. I believe it's AJ Styles and Rusev
and
Baron Corbin. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. It says Booby Roode.
Boobs, yeah. Right? That's a pay-per-view. That's better than No Mercy. Just like looking at that card. I think it's better than No Mercy. It's got, it's got potential.
Brock versus Braun and Cena versus Roman. Jinder versus Nakamura in a cage. Not doing it for me.
Anyway.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Do you think it's interesting timing? They waited until now? Think there's a reason for it? What do you think the whole thought process is?
I don't know. I can only guess that somebody must have had an idea to say, like, hey, we've got a show coming up in North Carolina. What if we used, a name or something from the past to try to get more people to come to the show? And I don't know. That's my guess as far as what it was. It's probably just somebody had an idea, and it's a house show, and, part of what they should be doing is trying to get more fans to come to house shows. Obviously, that's something that they want to probably drive up. I mean, so now we talked a little before, some of the SmackDown attendance this week at the show was not very good, and Raw, I think, was also kind of down, and I can only imagine that house shows are probably having trouble drawing as well. So maybe somebody just came up with the idea and decided, like, hey, well, let's use Starrcade, and we'll make it like a thing, and they'll have a couple old-time guys come back, and maybe we'll get some more fans to come to the show.
Yeah,
a good idea.
Yeah, if I was there, I would go. I mean, I would definitely watch it. There's a lot of wrestling on that show.
I mean, I wish they would have done it as like a pay-per-view for like December, as opposed to the dumbass TLC and Hell in a Cell and all the
Mercy crap and all these Elimination Chamber. Yeah, like all these.
What if they had a pay-per-view in December in North Carolina and this freaking thing's flying around my house now?
Yeah, it's a moth.
Yeah. Pay-per-view in North Carolina in December for SmackDown and call it Starrcade, and then you can do the same exact card that we just listed out and have those guys still have the old-timers appear, right? You could do a segment with them. I'm sure they could have somebody come out in the middle of it and, putz around or whatever. I think having that kind of card that we just listed a lot of the matches on, it was a pay-per-view caliber card, and have those guys on the show and call it Starrcade, and you can have like the same design and logos and stuff like that.
They should have the old school design. I think that would be great. Yeah. I think this is a great opportunity for WWE to kind of turn back the clock here and don't have the 98, 99 stupid logo. Have like the mid-80s logo. Yeah. I think that would be super cool. Make the ropes the way they used to look in WCW. I'm sorry, NWA back then.
Yeah, it would be nice too. I mean, I don't know what his status is, but if Rick Flair is healthy enough to make an appearance or something, or just walk out in front of the crowd and wave. I mean, that would be cool too. Like, especially at something like that.
I heard he gave up drinking.
I did. I heard that too. He's not drinking anymore.
Quitter. Right?
Hulk Hogan also said he was never going to drink again on Twitter one day after he probably went on a bender or something. So,
well, let me tell you something. If I was 70 years old and I drank every single day for the better part of 55 years, I'd probably quit at some point too.
That's fair.
Now, I don't know if you saw, but Michael P.S. Hayes responded to Cody Rhodes. Did you see this?
I did see all that.
And invited him to Starrcade. And then Matt Hardy got wind of it. And Matt Hardy said, well, if we're going to be there, then why don't you bring the Bucks of Youth? So is there any chance?
No.
No, I think so either. Nope. No, there's no chance. No chance. It's all... Do you think... Because Cody's not contracted, so Cody actually could show up if he wasn't the Ring of Honor champion. The Bucks have that exclusive deal. There's no way they could show up.
Right.
And I don't think... I think there's so much ill will between Cody and the WWE, I just don't see that happening. I did hear CM Punk was going to come back to Starrcade, though. I made that up. That was a work.
You did make it up.
So, I mean, again, I still want to see Halloween Havoc. That was the best pay-per-view. For my money, Halloween Havoc was the most fun. You have a spin the wheel, make the deal match. No. One day, eventually, in 2 years, when WWE runs out of ideas, we're going to get ourselves a Halloween Havoc.
So, maybe one day.
You know what today is?
Thursday.
Today's Thursday.
Today is, apparently.
You know what that means? It's the start of the football week.
All right.
And we would like to welcome you into our new favorite segment, Two Idiots Talking Sports, or as we call it, TITS.
You're watching Channel 4 News with five-time Emmy Award-winning anchor Ron Burgundy and TITS McGee.
Fish tacos are the TITS.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the gimmick? You feel good about it?
That is tremendous. That is top-notch creativity on your part.
Let's see if we can get some football music in the background here. Hold on. Oh, there we go. Let's make it a little lower so we can actually hear. All right, here you go. Ready? What's the matter?
Talk about high budget, huh?
Come on.
This is how millionaires are made, man. I have a couple of ideas. Who would have thought a week and a half ago we have a segment called Tits featuring NFL primetime music?
Sponsored by WWE P-Porn on Twitter.
Yeah, actually, and the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell's a big fan of tits.
That fucking bozo. So that you know. Don't you know? He's a big fan of men's tits.
Well, is that confirmed?
We don't know. I read a book.
All right, good.
It's called Roger Goodell's... Eats ass.
Mine was To Kill a Mockingbird. But that sounds good too. Yeah, no, that's fine.
Actually, you know, we'll talk about that later. Okay, so last week was an interesting week in the world of football. You're a Giants fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. We sucked last week.
It was not a good week. Yeah.
We sucked.
Not good.
Everything sucked. I can't.
What's the matter?
I can't. You popped me. Let's just play this. I'll just shut up when I just listen to this for
now. No, it's good music, but great music. It's supposed to be background.
Cowboys played first. Cowboys played on 4 p.m. Well, they were supposed to play at 4 p.m. on Sunday. They didn't. Nobody showed up at all. Dak had a decent game only because he had to throw the ball 175 times for the first time in his career. We brought Zeke Rush 9 times for 7 yards. The defense wasn't there. Literally, I don't know. It was the roughest game in the Dak era. I think it's fair to say. There was an interesting call of leaping. It's a 15. You know, what do they call that? It's called leaping, right?
Well, you're talking about on the field goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't push off on another lineman or defender.
I always thought it was like jumping over the guy.
It used to be, and I think they changed the rule. I think it's changed this year where you can't like post off some guy and like give yourself more of a lift.
The case, then I guess it was a legit call. That kind of changed the whole complexion of the game. We were down 10-0 out the gate, but it's going to be an interesting to see how Zeke comes back next week because he got buried by everybody on the internet because he gave up on a couple of plays, which, you can't sit there and pout like a little bitch. You can't have a sourpuss on your face and not play. Dak's out there, Dak and Zeke are two completely different animals. Dak Prescott handles himself like a quarterback. He's methodical. He's not overly emotional. Zeke Elliott runs for 165 yards, and he's doing, the salsa in the end zone, a la Victor Cruz. He rushes for less than 5 yards, and he's sitting on the bench crying. Man up and, be consistent. I understand you're a little frustrated that you abandoned the running game, but when you go down by 21 before the half, you have to abandon the running game. So that's my honest take on my Cowboys-Broncos game. That's fair. I think I can't sugarcoat it. Because they play like shit. I can't.
Sure you.
All right, talk about the Giants game on Monday.
No, I don't want to. I'm not going to do that.
Okay, I'll talk. I'll ask you.
No, I don't.
No, I just buried the Cowboys for 4 minutes.
That was your choice.
Well, okay, what's... Are we going to see the Giants go 500 this year?
I don't know. I don't think they're going to win this week, if that's what you're asking, but...
I think they're going to beat the Eagles.
You think they're going to beat the Eagles this week?
I have no faith in Carson Wentz whatsoever, and I feel like Eli's too good of a quarterback, and he's too much of a veteran to let it completely slip away with the talent he's got. It's not his fault, though. The man is literally dying in the backfield. Somebody needs to make a play for him. Shannon Sharpe said he knew, I'm skipping Shannon, when his quarterback's having a rough day, he knows he has to make a play, and the guys on defense, they have to make a play to change the tide. And I think Eli's going to get it this week.
I hope you're right.
Maybe like a kickoff return touchdown or something.
That would be nice.
That would be
nice. I don't think Janoris Jenkins is going to play again.
Really?
Which is a problem. And
he shut down Dez. Four catches, 41 yards, whatever it was.
That's what he does. But I mean, they said he didn't practice for the second straight day this week, today.
What's his issue?
He's got two issues, like a hand and like an ankle or something. He's got like two separate things going on.
Oh, that's rough.
He tried to warm up on Monday to go, and he couldn't go, so he didn't play. And now they said he had practice the last 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday. So, short week for them, right? Coming off Monday night, they got to go on the road, division game. Doesn't feel good. But
these are the kind of games that Eli wins, though, the ones he's supposed to lose.
Yeah, it's how it used to be. But yeah. You know how it is, year to year, these guys. So.
Everything changes. Speaking of... So talk about injuries. The Cowboys lost 3 cornerbacks in one game. That's a new record. Good news is Orlando Scandrick's coming back this week, at least for us. But we made Trevor Siemian look like Joe Montana.
Joe Montana?
Yeah.
What show was he on?
Joe Montana actually played Ian the Shark in Airheads.
Okay. What's the matter with you?
What is this? Is the remix?
This is NFL primetime.
Tremendous. Maybe. What else surprised you last week? Oh, this is so good. This music is so good.
I know, that's why this is fantastic. In the background. What else surprised me last week? I'm trying to think.
Russell Wilson sucks.
Yeah, killing my 4 of my fantasy teams.
Me too.
Really, really killing me.
Burying me. So is Marcus Mariota. Burying me in my fantasy league.
That's tough.
Terrence West, killing me.
I don't know if there's much. I'm trying to think of anything that was a big surprise last week off the top of my head.
Kareem Hunt going crazy again.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I have him on one team for my fantasy league, so I mean, I'm glad he's doing well. I don't know. I don't think there's any like huge surprises. I'm trying to look through the games and think about what happened. I mean, you know, the Buccaneers played their first game and they blew out Chicago, Tampa. And then the Dolphins played that game at the Chargers in LA and they kind of won on a missed field goal at the end.
Were there more people at that game or at SmackDown?
I don't know. That's tough. It's a small stadium that they're playing in, too.
And there was nobody there.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons beat up on the Packers pretty good on Sunday night. I guess I didn't really see that coming. I thought it would have been more of a close game.
Murked, huh?
But I think, other than that, I think the other thing that was kind of a big storyline was how bad the Bengals' offense has become to the point where they fired their offensive coordinator after 2 games. And the Buffalo Bills did that last year, and that worked out pretty well for them, I think.
I have AJ Green, so it's not going to work out for anybody. No. And the Colts, Jacoby Brissett, almost looked decent.
Yeah.
Except threw an interception the first play of overtime. You can't do that. Protect the ball, man.
Can't do it.
Well, last week, we made our picks last week.
Yep. You went 2-1. I was 1-2. So that gets you to 4-2 on the season. I'm 3-3. So
nice. That's going to lead us into this week, my friend. What do we got? You going to go 1-1? What do you want to do?
Yeah, we'll go back and forth.
All right. My first lock. Of the...
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, no. Get it.
What are you doing?
Oh, wow.
It's going to keep going. There's like 15 songs.
This is the greatest segment ever. My first lock of the week are the Broncos against the Bills, with the Broncos giving up 3. They can give up 23. They're going to crush the Bills. Von Miller's going to get Tyrod Taylor no less than 2.5 times.
All right. I'm down with that. That's pick number one?
Pick number one.
I'll take...
You can take him. It's okay.
No. I'm going to take Atlanta -3 at Detroit. I don't buy Detroit at all. I know they're 2-0. Not a bad team. I just don't think they're particularly a very good team or a great team. And I think Atlanta has gotten off to... They didn't play that great in Chicago in the first week, but they played really well, I thought, last Sunday against the Packers at home. This game is in Detroit. It's in a dome. I think that's going to help them, you know, not being outdoors and all that type of stuff.
Remember, Ryan's going to sling the ball.
I think, I'm going to say, I'll take the Falcons -3 on the road.
Okay. Kansas City over the Chargers in, Los Angeles?
Yeah.
In LA. Kansas City giving up three. I think Kansas City's a legit team if Alex Smith can just not turn the ball over. You've got a superstar running back in Kareem Hunt. All he's got to do is protect the ball and make good throws to Tyreek Hill because he's on my fantasy team. So I'm taking Kansas City, giving up three to the Chargers.
I'm going to go a little bit off the grid here, and I don't really feel that great about this pick, but it's a tough game to pick and figure. But I'm going to take the Colts at home getting a point and a half. They were dreadful the first week. But the Browns on the road as a favorite. Not sure how I feel about that.
Where am I?
Yeah, it's a little curious. Brissett, I thought, did better than Tolzien last week.
JCB.
And they only lost by a few points, I believe, to the Cardinals.
Was like overtime. Three, yeah, it was overtime. Overtime.
So they played pretty. They played them pretty tight at home. I think that with Brissett there, they got a little bit more mobility and diversity on offense.
He's got a better arm, too. He's going to get the ball to Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I'm going to expect that this game's going to be at least close, and I'll take the Colts as a home underdog, getting a point and a half.
I think they win 5-2 this week.
That's works for me.
And last but not least, I'm taking the Saints giving up the Saints and six, excuse me, to Carolina. That's a lot of points to be giving Drew Brees. I don't know if he's going to need. Actually, I think they might win this game straight up. They're in Carolina, I believe, right?
They are in Carolina.
Yeah, they're in Carolina. I don't think it's really going to matter. Drew Brees has so many weapons. He's not going to have to throw the ball 40 times a game. He's got Mark Ingram and he's got Adrian Peterson, but forget Adrian Peterson. He's got Mark Ingram, who's consistent if nothing else. Just give him the ball, throw it on the backfield, and make smart plays, and they should handle the Carolina Panthers.
I'm torn on this last pick. I really don't, I'm not sure exactly where to go. I've got two choices in my head.
I know which one you're thinking. Can I guess?
You can guess.
You thinking Seahawks?
No.
Huh.
I was going to go... I was thinking about maybe taking New England, but that's a lot of points. 13 at home.
What is it, 14?
13 points at home. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cowboys, I feel like, this week. Arizona kind of stinks. They're at home. I feel like they're struggling. No David Johnson. I know Dallas kind of got the taken to the woodshed last week, but Arizona's defense is not anywhere near as good as Denver's. I don't think Arizona has a lot of weapons on offense. They almost lost in Indianapolis last week. And Dallas is not a bad team by any means.
Thanks, man.
And I think they're not a 13-3 or 14-2 team like they were last year, but I think that they are solid enough to get a win on the road. And I think, giving up only 3 points, I would like to think that it'll be like a bit of a revenge week for Zeke.
That's what I think, too. Yeah, the Cardinals, and, like you said, they don't have the best defense.
So I'm going to go with the Cowboys -3 on the road.
Nice, man. We're making some progress here. This has quickly become my favorite segment, by the way. If nothing for the opening, I think, it was tremendous.
I'm going to turn off the primetime music now.
Oh, I was like,
that's it. Segment's over.
Could we just keep talking about football?
We can.
Might as well. Let's just forget the wrestling show and just do football picks.
Wrestling show.
Listen, big things are coming. Mediocre things are coming in the future. A couple things can be changed. We're going to have some new segments next week. I went and did all that research and forgot one of the segments. Should I just do it now?
Yeah, I'm not sure which segment.
This Week in History?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm a huge history buff. I've got pro wrestling magazines from the early 80s. I love history. So we're introducing This Week in Professional, This Week in Wrestling History. T.W. Hyde Thwith. Thwith, that's the name of the segment. It's going to go over a while, right?
Thwith, all right.
This Week in Wrestling History, September 19th, 1995, Gangsta's Paradise, 95, Mikey Whipwreck and the Public Enemy defeated Two Cold Scorpio, New Jack, and the Sandman in a Gangsta's Paradise cage match, which is impressive in itself, but also on that card, we have the debuting Stone Cold Steve Austin when he cut his infamous promo as Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Also, little known fact, on that card was the first ever appearance of Rey Mysterio Jr. and Juventud Guerrera in ECW. It's a big pay-per-view. I'm sorry, big event. It wasn't a pay-per-view back then. So if you're bored, go watch it on the network. Guarantee it's better than whatever's on SmackDown this week. So that's it, man.
That's it.
Do we have anything else to talk about? Nothing I can think of.
No, I don't know, man. No. This weekend, No Mercy is on Sunday.
You know what? We're going to get our No Mercy picks up on Saturday. We'll get a live video.
I don't know if we're false advertising now. I don't think there's going to be any vag on the video.
No, vajaj, which is a video vlog.
Well, we're going to get something out there with our picks.
Yeah, we'll get a pay-per-view. We'll get a video, a little video log up on Saturday for our picks, not breaking down. We're gonna get a quick picks of No Mercy this weekend. Anything else going on this weekend? Just No Mercy.
Well, we previewed Death Before Dishonor last week, and that's happening tomorrow night. So if you want to listen to our show from last week, we went down the card for that. That's Friday night for Ring of Honor, if anyone's interested in that. Not exactly the best card in the world. Not that I want to deter anybody from ordering it. I mean, feel free if you want to drop $35 and watch the show.
No, order it, because they need money to sign the people that we talked about, okay?
All right.
So order the show.
Sure.
So go back and listen to our Death Before Dishonor prediction show from a week ago. We just like to be up on the current topics.
We got it all out there for everybody, so...
He is the Stallion. I'm the Enforcer. Yet another week. We are tapping out.